Hi everyone, this is Atrevida and you are now listening to Conversations on a Tightrope. Since this is mid-December, I thought it would be fitting to talk about holiday celebrations. My generation grew up emphasizing popular celebrations like Christmas, Hanukkah, and later on Kwanzaa, a cultural celebration of African heritage and values. However, nations evolve and populations grow. Since the world is now globally connected, it is in a sense smaller because of the ability to communicate across the globe, the social interactions with people from countries some of us have never even heard of before, and our global economic dependencies. Therefore, there are even more celebrations occurring that many of us are not aware of for one reason or another. That being said, it should be obvious that instead of referring to the name of one specific traditional celebration, it is more fitting to embrace all celebrations under the umbrella of holiday season or holiday celebrations. The term holiday is meant to include all celebrations involving cultural or religious observances or beliefs, as being equally important across the U.S. and certainly in the eyes of our government. Without community, holiday celebrations would be near impossible. I believe we are witnessing social unrest that exemplifies the distress here in America and all over the world caused by a lack of integrity on the part of our communities. So before I talk about some of the celebrations this time of year of all Americans of different ethnicities, I would like to replay some interviews I had on my second broadcast, which I devoted to community. After all, the integrity of each community is what makes all countries either thrive or disintegrate. So here are some interviews with your neighbors commenting on what community means to them.
This is a family from East Durham, and I'd like to ask some words that come to mind about community.
Do you have any? Community is something where when something happens, whether it's a disaster or a loss in the family or something transpires that's negative, that everybody sort of pulls together and helps the person out that might be in need or experiencing a loss or anything like that.
Are there any other like elements in a community that you think might be important in defining?
Closeness.
Oh, that's a new word. Like a family. All right. Well, do you have any words when you're in your community, hun? Like when you are playing with your friends? What's that?
Playing safe.
Playing safe. Very important for community, I would think, don't you?
Safety in your community, right? Let's be able to go to the park and be safe.
That's right. Do you have anything that you like about community?
Why don't jump off swings.
Ah, that's right. So, in other words, you learn when you're in the playground not to jump off swings, right? It's fun to have that playground, isn't it? And I'm sure the community helped get you that playground. So I guess it's good to have community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, fellas, that's really nice of you to talk to me.
All right, thank you.
Here I am sitting down with a Carroll resident who's going to briefly give me his interpretation of defining community and what it means to him. So how do you do?
Hi. I feel this community is a coalition of individuals that start a community in order to better their life. Fortunately, they have what they call a good old boys club in communities, which distort the situations.
What would you say community means to you, though?
A bunch of people that are very friendly and outgoing that help each other. That is not in existence.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we are in Frank's Pizzeria in Carroll. Can you, Frank, tell me what words you can think of to define community and what community means to you?
It means coming together as a community to form like business, friendships, relationships. And That's basically what community is to me. Without community, a town or city or whatever cannot survive based on the individual.
Okay, thank you. And then Carol, Dave, would you like to tell me what words come to mind when I mention the word community?
I guess support, because up here, being closer to Woodstock, finding more people who have kind of a day-to-day interest in being creative and feeling like you're not out of place. You're not so different just because you like making stuff.
You're the first one to use support. I feel that way also. How much does community mean to you?
Well, again, that's hard. It's all new, but I'll come into town feeling like I'm searching for something, but I end up going home and creating something. And that right now is very important.
It energizes you.
Yes. Tremendously.
That's wonderful. I want to thank you very much. Thank you.
Here I am talking to Jesse and Carol.
Community to me is your surroundings and, you know, the different businesses that you put in the community. When I think of community, I think of before you put businesses, you would think, would this benefit the community or would it draw people away from the community?
And how much does that mean to you,
community? That means a lot to me, because before anything new comes into my community, I want to make sure that it's going to be benefiting. Draw people and not draw people away from the community.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
You're welcome.
Here I am with DZ from Red Hook.
Well, community means to me, most importantly, neighbors. People that live next door to you, the people that watch out for you, that take care of you when you're in need. I would say that's the most important thing. Also, I think that community means all of the little people, all the small people that own the little stores, the little restaurants, the coffee shops. It's really important that they become really part of the community and that the people in the community frequent those places, because without them, the community dies.
Would you say how much it means to you?
Oh, it means so much to me. I live in a small community. Red Hook is a very small community. And if it didn't mean that much to me, I wouldn't live there.
Thank you very much, DZ.
You're welcome.
This is Tom from
Spirits of Carols.
Can you tell me what words come to mind when you hear the word community, and what does community mean to you?
Social responsibility. You're responsible for yourself and everything around you. Neighbors, a stray dog stopping in the road to move a turtle off the side of the road. If you see that your neighbors are gone for a week and their front lawn plants are dying, throw some water on them. Just simple things. Social responsibility. If you see something, don't turn your back just because it's that easy.
How does it affect you, you know, the need for community? It
affects me in 100% a daily way. You know, if somebody needs help with a grocery bag to their car, you help them. If somebody calls and says, I need to move a chair, and you have a truck, and you know that person might have to pay $30 and you have the day off, take 10 minutes out of your time to move a chair with them. Simple things. If everyone just helped everyone, you wouldn't have the me syndrome. I don't understand the progression of old age homes. Your parents raised you. You, in turn, should raise them. And age is wisdom. You don't throw things away. Community. If I have a loaf of bread, why should I let half of it go stale when there's somebody who might be hungry? Just simple things. Community is, across the board, watching out for your neighbor. In return, they watch out for you, for your kids. I grew up that way on the Lower East Side in New York City. When my mom was coming home late, the neighbors watched us. In return, on her day off, she watched their kids.
That's a great definition. Thank you for giving me this interview.
You're welcome.
After listening to those interviews, there were certain phrases describing community that stand out. Support within the community, helping each other in times of crisis, acceptance of what our neighbors stand for in their cultures, caring about each other, looking out for each other, loving each other, and more. Community means to me to share with, care for, and respect others, to include all residents into the community by actively listening to them, and making an effort to encourage their participation in community issues. Community means something different to everyone. There have to be shared common issues, making laws, transportation, jobs, a social venue. And then in a community, you need communication, opportunities to express oneself, the written word, airwaves, which is our WGXC, churches, parks, meetings. You also need acceptance, not just tolerance, of whoever wants to be a part of the community so that it's non-judgmental. All of these elements of a community allow us to work together in harmony and create our beautiful celebrations. Now, before I go into our holiday celebrations, I would like to touch on what gave birth to most of these holidays, and that is the winter solstice. Most of my information was obtained on the online Wikipedia site. What is the winter solstice exactly? First, the axial tilt of Earth is the cause of seasons like summer and winter on Earth. The winter solstice occurs exactly when the axial tilt of a planet's polar hemisphere is farthest away from the star that it orbits. The Earth's star is the Sun. A hemisphere's winter solstice occurs on the shortest day and longest night of the year, when the sun's daily maximum elevation in the sky is the lowest. The seasonal significance of the winter solstice is in the reversal of the gradual lengthening of nights and shortening of days. Depending on the shift of the calendar, the winter solstice usually occurs on December 21 or 22 each year in the Northern Hemisphere and June 20 or 21 in the Southern Hemisphere. Most cultures have held a recognition of rebirth involving holidays, festivals, gatherings, rituals, or other celebrations around that time. An explanation of the winter solstice is available in a video on YouTube. If you Google Geography of Seasons or Winter Solstice, you should be able to find a video I viewed that is helpful in understanding the whole process. Now, we started out as being a species whose cultures and beliefs originated in response to the winter solstice. Let's look at how creative we were. On December 6th, the Dutch and Germans celebrated St. Nicholas Day, also called Sinterklaas. And this I found on a internet site called KidsTurnCentral.com. In 4th century Turkey, there was a generous bishop by the name of St. Nicholas, now considered to be the patron saint or protector of children. I would like to play a short animation of Sinterklaas.
St. Nicholas was a priest of Turkish origin. On his birthday, the 5th of December, the poor children of the city may put a shoe in the church in which the wealthy put money or gifts for them. These gifts were divided on the day he died, 6th of December. Later, the children at home did this. They mostly got candy, like marzipan or gingerbread, and also toys. Most children who were naughty got a bag of salt or a bundle of sticks. These were given as a punishment. This tradition went on in the Netherlands. When St. Nicholas was in the land, all children may leave their shoe in the evening, sometimes with something in return, like carrots, sugar, and drawings. And on the 5th of December, there we have Presents Eve. As the children sing the traditional festive songs, they get their final presents. After that, St. Nicholas leaves the Netherlands to go back to Spain, which symbolizes his death on the 6th of December.
Okay, next, I would like to play the Dutch Christmas song called Nu Ziet, Z-I-J-T, Welcome, W-E-L-L-E-K-O-M-E. That's the Dutch Christmas song. So let's listen to this.
Nu zijt welkom. Jezus, lieve Heer, Hij komt van al zo hoog, van al zo veel. U zijt welkom van den hoge hemel. Hier al in dit aardrijk zijt Gij gezien. Christe Kyrie.
The next celebration is the ancient Swedish Scandinavian Lutheran Eastern Orthodox Feast of St. Lucy. A Lucia or Lucy night happens on December 13, what was supposed to be the longest night of the year. The feast was later appropriated by the Catholic Church in the 16th century as St. Lucy's Day. It was believed in some folklore of Sweden that if people, particularly children, did not carry out their chores, the female demon, the Lucy or Lucia de Dunkel, would come to punish them. She is the saint of the eyes and light, so she is remembered on the December 13, the shortest day of the year. The Swedes took this and have created their original. I do have a little girl singing, and she's welcoming the arrival of Santa Lucia with her song. On December 8th, they celebrate Bodhi Day, and this is also from Wikipedia, B-O-D-H-I Day. It's observed by the Mahayana Buddhist sects, and there is one located in Greene County, Cairo, New York, between Cairo and Leeds. And it's the 8th day of the 12th lunar month of the Chinese calendar, or December 8th in Japan. It's the Buddhist holiday that commemorates the day that the historical Buddha Siddhartha experienced enlightenment, also known as Bodhi in Sanskrit or Pali, P-A-L-I. In Japanese Zen, it is also known as Rohatsu, R-O-H-A-T-S-U. In Tendai, T-E-N-D-A-I, and other Japanese sects, it is called Shaka Jodo, J-O-D-O-E. Services and traditions vary amongst Buddhist sects, but all such services commemorate the Buddhist achievement of Nirvana and what this means for Buddhism today. Also celebrated is the Dongzhi Festival, D-O-N-G-Z-H-I, in East Asian cultures, the Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, and others. It's called the Dongzhi solar term on or around December 21, when sunshine is weakest and daylight shortest, and which is on the first day of the Dongzhi solar term. The origins of this festival can be traced back to the yin and yang philosophy of balance and harmony in the cosmos. After this celebration, there will be days with longer daylight hours and therefore an increase in positive energy flowing in. The philosophical significance of this is symbolized by the I Ching hexagram, Fu, which is returning. What I would also like to play is some music. And first, I'd like to start it with a traditional Chinese music piece that I found on YouTube. And then I would like to follow that with a Japanese classical music piece. And after that will be a Korean music piece called Arirang, A-R-I-R-A-N-G, using the Gayageum, G-A-Y-A-G-E-U-M. And this Korean piece was uploaded by Warming Asia in 2008 by EUNSE-NA. It was played at the National Center for Korean Traditional Performing Arts in Seoul. So I hope you enjoy these three pieces. Japanese classical music. Korean music piece.
Thank you.
On December 12th is the celebration in Mexico of the Virgin of Guadalupe. This is not only the most revered religious relic in Latin America, but the strongest symbol of Mexican unity. The most important and spectacular celebration in Mexico takes place on the 12th of December, when millions of pilgrims from all over the country stream into the Basilica, the Virgin's shrine, to pay homage to Mexico's patron saint. In Mexico, the Christmas holidays begin unofficially with the Saint's Day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, but can decorations appear any time after the Day of the Dead on November 2. The festivities are in full swing, with the beginning of the Posadas, celebrated each evening from December 16 to 24. They are, in fact, a novenario, 9 days of religious observance based on the 9 months that Maria carried Jesus in her womb. The Posadas reenact Mary and Joseph's cold and difficult journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem in search of shelter. In Spanish, the word means lodging.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th. A poor Indian named Juan Diego, a 57-year-old widower. He lived in a small village near Mexico City on Saturday morning, December 9, 1531. He was on his way to a nearby barrio to attend Mass in honor of Our Lady. He was walking by a hill called Tepeyac when he heard beautiful music like the warbling of birds. A radiant cloud appeared, and within it, a young Native American maiden dressed like an Aztec princess. The lady spoke to him in his own language and sent him to the Bishop of Mexico, a Franciscan, just like me, named Juan de Zumarraga. The bishop was to build a chapel in the place where the lady appeared. Eventually, the bishop told Juan Diego to have the lady give him a sign. About this same time, Juan Diego's uncle became seriously ill. This led poor Diego to try to avoid the lady. The lady found Diego, nevertheless assured him that his uncle would recover and provided roses for Juan to carry to the bishop in his tilma. When Juan Diego opened his tilma in the bishop's presence, the roses fell to the ground and the bishop sank to his knees. On Juan Diego's tilma appeared an image of Mary as she had appeared at the hill of Tepeyac. It was December 12, 1531. Eventually, Juan Diego became a saint.
The next recording is Father Robert Barron describing his reaction to first seeing the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and reflects on the power that image has had through the years.
There was almost full moon out as we came, and it was very beautiful in the sky. And of course, the moon is a Marian symbol because she's a reflected light. She reflects the light of her son. And so the moon's often associated with Mary. What struck me the minute I walked into the basilica and saw the image for the first time was how small it is. And I guess somehow in your imagination, and I've seen so many reproductions of it, that you think of this grand thing. But then you remember, okay, it was the tilma, it was the garment of this simple man. It was like a poncho. And so, of course, it would be a pretty human-sized. And once that connection was made, I just found it deeply moving. And to think of the power of that image. Again, no matter what you say about it, even if you're the most skeptical person in the world, that image did convert an entire nation and still galvanizes people all over the world. Another sign of the power of this, that she's often a vehicle of healing, unexplainable physical healings. And a lot of that's happened here. On December the 12th, the feast day, people come, they walk all through the city to get to the site on their knees. The effect it's had on the sort of the Mexican consciousness is powerful.
And then we have the Jewish tradition, Hanukkah, which on the secular calendar, the Jewish year for 2011 is December 20th to nightfall December 28th. And it was a YouTube comment that I found informative. Hanukkah always falls on the same date on the Hebrew calendar, the 25th day of the month of Kislev, because the Jewish calendar is both solar and lunar-based, and the regular calendar is only solar-based, the dates of Jewish holidays vary when placed onto a regular calendar. Hanukkah begins any time from late November till late December. And that was uploaded by Carol, BOYDLEON, 1 year ago on YouTube. And Hanukkah is the Jewish festival of rededication, also known as the Festival of Lights. It's an 8-day festival. It's not a very important religious holiday. It has far less religious significance than that of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Passover, and Shavuot. Hanukkah is not mentioned in Jewish scripture. The story is related in the Book of Maccabees, which Jews do not accept as scripture. Now, this information I received from a site called Jewfaq, jewfaq.org/holiday. So you can check that out there. And I would like to play a YouTube on the Hanukkah ceremony.
Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Yontef Hashener, a lustiger, a freilicher, niton of Hazener, alle Nacht in Dreidel spielen mir, Sudikese, Latkes, essen mir, Geschwinder sind Kinder, die Hanike, Lichter davon. Lass mir alle singen, lass mir alle springen und lass mir alle tanzen in Korn. Lass mir alle singen und lass mir alle springen und lass mir alle tanzen in Korn. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horror. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with, a latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. They shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Yemei HaChanukah, Chanukat Migdashenu, Vigilu v'simcha, memalim et libenu, Lahila v'yom svivoneinu yisov, Suhu ganiyot, nochal bam larov, Ha'iru Adliku Nerot Hanukkah Rahabim Al Hanisim Ve'al Niflaot Asher Cholelu HaMakabim Al Hanisim Ve'al Niflaot Asher Cholelu HaMakabim. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
Now, this I found on factmonster.com, and this was written by David Johnson. Boxing Day is December 26th, the day after Christmas, and is celebrated in Great Britain. While the exact origins of the holiday are obscure, it is likely that Boxing Day began in England during the Middle Ages. And in most areas settled by the U.S., the U.S. is the major exception, including Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Some historians say the holiday developed because servants were required to work on Christmas Day, but took the following day off. As servants had to leave to visit their families, their employers would present them with gift boxes. Also, the Feast of St. Stephen's Martyrdom takes place on December 26. St. Stephen was one of the seven original deacons of the Christian Church who were ordained by the apostles to care for widows and the poor. And for the Scottish, Irish, and Celtic celebrations, I hope you enjoy The Little Drummer Boy on Bagpipes by the Duncan McCall Pipe Band. This was uploaded on YouTube by Dunkman98 on December 10, 2008. Enjoy. And then there is Kwanzaa. In a YouTube video I discovered, the following young children will explain Kwanzaa to you much better than I ever could. It will follow with another video that explains the seven principles, each one celebrated for 7 days.
What in the world is Kwanzaa?
Basically, Kwanzaa is a holiday that salutes and recognizes the cultural roots of people of African descent.
Well, what does the word Kwanzaa mean?
Kwanzaa means the first fruits of the harvest in the language of Kiswahili, which is spoken in certain parts of Africa.
When do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa celebrated from December 26th to January 1st.
Well, where does Kwanzaa come from?
The roots of Kwanzaa come from certain African harvest celebrations. In 1966, Dr. Milana Karenga developed Kwanzaa from the perspective of Africans in America and all around the world.
Is Kwanzaa a religious celebration?
Kwanzaa is not religious or political. It's cultural.
What I want to know is, can you give gifts on Kwanzaa?
Yeah! You can give gifts during Kwanzaa, but the point is, don't go broke doing it. The gifts of the Zawadi should be something practical and meaningful, like a book or something that you or another African has made.
Okay, I get it. Kwanzaa is just a black version of Christmas, right?
No. Kwanzaa has nothing to do with Christmas. It has meaning to us as a people. It's more like a cultural reaffirmation.
So, what is Kwanzaa based on?
The Nguzo Saba.
The Nguzo Saba?
Yes, that's Kiswahili for the seven principles.
The seven principles of Kwanzaa are
Umoja.
Umoja.
Unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race.
Kuji Zakalia.
Self-determination. To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves.
Ujima.
Ujima.
Collective work and responsibility. To build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together.
Ujama.
Ujama.
Cooperative economics. To build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together.
Nia.
Nia.
Purpose. To make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness.
Kuumba.
Kuumba.
Creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial. Faith. To believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle.
For India and Nepal, we have the Hindu celebration Makara Sankranti. Makara Sankranti is celebrated at the beginning of Uttarayana, Uttarayana. It is the only Hindu festival which is based on the celestial calendar rather than the lunar calendar. It is called Makara Sankranti because the sun enters the sign of Capricorn on January 14, Makar, meaning Capricorn. It is celebrated with much pomp in Andhra Pradesh, where the festival is celebrated for 3 days and is more of a cultural festival than an auspicious day as in other parts of India. I don't want to forget to also play the Bangladesh Mumtaz Begum. And she performed at the ICC World Cup 2011 opening in Dhaka, Bangladesh.
সংসদ সদস্য এবং আমাদের দেশের ফোক সং সম্রাজ্ঞী মমতাজ এখন গান পরিবেশন করছে।
আমার ঘুম ভাঙ্গায়া গেল গো মরার কোকিলে, আমায় পাগল করিল গো মরার কোকিলে, আমায় উদাসী বানাইয়া গেল বসন্তের কালে গো মরার কোকিলে, আমায় পাগল করিয়া গেল বসন্তের কালে গো মরার কোকিলে, আমার ঘুম ভাঙ্গায়া গেল গো মরার কোকিলে, আমায় পাগল করিল গো মরার কোকিলে।
I'd also like to pay homage to the Muslim customs. December 20th or 21, depending on the shift of the calendar, there is a celebration of Yalda, Y-A-L-D-A, which is the longest night of the year and has always been celebrated by the Persians. The night has been celebrated in countless cultures for thousands of years, from the ancient Romans.
Iranians celebrate Yalda, the longest night of the year. The Zoroastrian tradition, which dates back thousands of years, as the 13th century Iranian poet Sadi wrote, "The true morning will not come until the Yalda night is gone." Miriam Frouzi, an Iranian, stated, "In the industrialized world of today, Yalda is the way to bring love and happiness to families. It gives people the chance to meet and put aside their differences. May this year's Yalda bring a spirit of hopeful renewal for Iranians worldwide."
And then I would like to play a beautiful song that was written and is sung by Yusuf Islam, also known as Cat Stevens, in the 60s. He has wonderful music, and I think it's a really beautiful song that I'm going to play for you here. On YouTube, it says that it was recorded for his baby daughter to teach her the Arabic alphabet.
Eyes for Allah, nothing but Allah. Ba is the beginning of Bismillah. Is for taqwa, the wearing of Allah. And tha is for thawab, a reward. Ja is for Jannah, the garden of paradise. Ha is for Hajj, the blessed pilgrimage. Kha is for Khatim, the seal of the prophethood given to the prophet. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is for Deen al-Islam, religion with Allah since time began. That is for Dhikr, remembering Allah, and rise for the month of Ramadan. Oh, Ramadan. That is for Zakah, to cure our greed, when we give our money to those in need. Sighs for Salamun Alaikum, peace be with you, wa Alaikum Salam. Shahs for Shams, the shining sun, which Allah placed for everyone. And sighs for Salah, for when we pray, facing Him, every day facing Him, till we meet our Lord. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Dies with duha, the morning light, the sun has turned from red to white. Dies for tariq, a path to walk upon. And dha is for dhil, a shadow. And a is for ilm, the thing to know, to make our knowledge grow in Islam. Gha is for ghaib, a world unseen, and that we know is not a dream. And fa is for the opening, al-fatiha. And qaf for the Qur'an, the book of God. And kaf is for kalima, a word we're taught, to teach us what is good and what is not. And la is for the beginning of La ilaha illallah. Ma is for the messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Now is for Naum, the sleep God gave, to give us rest after the day. Has for the Hijrah, the journey that the Prophet made. And Wafudu, before we pray, to help us wash our sins away. And Ya, for Yawmiddin. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Moses was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Abraham was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Noah was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and He created Adam, and we are the children of Adam. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
This YouTube comment says, may God in all His guises be as beautiful. The Lord, whatever we call Him, flows through all of us. May our expressions of devotion be as resonant to all of us. As Yusuf once spoke, it is time to make a change. Peace be with all of us in this time of conflict. Now, the next celebration is the Soyal, S-O-Y-A-L, which is Zuni, Z-U-N-I, and Hopi of Arizona. Hopi, literally translated, means a person who behaves in a polite or peaceful way. The Hopi are a communal farming people who reside on and near three mesas in northeastern Arizona. More than 9,000 Hopi live on a 1.5 million acre reservation that encompasses a dozen villages. Zoya Langol, it's the winter solstice ceremony of the Sunni and the Hopitu Shinumu, the peaceful ones, also known as the Hopi. It is held on December 21, the shortest day of the year. The main purpose of the ritual is to ceremonially bring the sun back from its long winter slumber. It also marks the beginning of another cycle of the wheel of the year and is a time for purification. Pajos, prayer sticks, are made prior to the soil ceremony to bless all the community, including their homes, animals, and plants. The Kivas, K-I-V-A-S, sacred underground ritual chambers are ritually opened to mark the beginning of the Kachina season. And that is December 21. The following audio is a message from Hopi Elder Floyd Red Crow Westerman. His message is how America has come and is destined to go.
Time evolves and comes to a place where it renews again. There is first a purification time, then there is renewal time. We are getting very close to this time now. We were told that we would see America come and go. And in a sense, America is dying from within because they forgot the instructions on how to live on Earth. Everything is coming to a time where prophecy and man's inability to live on Earth in a spiritual way will come to a crossroad of great problems. It's the Hopi belief, it's our belief that if you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on earth, it's likely you will not make it. When Columbus came, that began what we term as the First World War. That was the true First World War when Columbus arrived. Because along with him came everybody from Europe. By the end of the Second World War, we were, in America, we were only 800,000. From 60 million to 800,000. So we were almost exterminated here in America. Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spirit. Everything was brought to you by the Creator, the one Creator. Some people call him God. Some people call him Buddha. Some people call him Allah. Some people call him other names. We call him Tonkashila, Grandfather. We're here on Earth only a few winters. Then we go to the spirit world. The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is everything. Over 95% of our body is water. And in order to stay healthy, you've got to drink good water. When the European first came here, Columbus, we could drink out of any river. If the Europeans had lived the Indian way when they came, we'd still be drinking out of water because the water is sacred. The air is sacred. Our DNA is made of the same DNA as the tree. The tree breathes what we exhale. When the tree exhales, we need what the tree exhales. So we have a common destiny with the tree. We are all from the earth. And when the earth, the water, the atmosphere is corrupted, then it will create its own reaction. Mother is reacting. In the Hopi prophecy, they say the storms and floods will become greater. To me, it's not a negative thing to know that there will be great changes. It's not negative. It's evolution. When you look at it as evolution, it's time. Nothing stays the same. We always say, that might be your ancestor, but it's not our ancestor. He is a relative, but not our ancestor. You should learn how to plant something. That's the first connection. You should treat all things as spirit. Realize that we are one family. It's never something like the end. Just like life, there is no end to life.
And to all my fellow non-theists, remember, we are not alone. Sit back and celebrate with some of the literary greats like Sir Francis Bacon, Ben Jonson, Thomas Hobbes, Denis Diderot, David Hume, Voltaire, Henry Fielding, Percy Bysshe Shelley, Ralph Waldo Emerson, John Stuart Mill, Thomas Alva Edison, Bertrand Russell, W.E.B. Du Bois, Albert Einstein, Ayn Rand, Anthony Storr, Daniel Dennett, Dennis Turner, Richard Dawkins, Steven Weinberg, Warren Buffett, Carl Sagan, Mark Twain, Arthur Miller, and many more, or sip some wine, invite some friends, and flick on a movie of some of our numerous fellow non-theist actors like Ricky Gervais, Antonio Banderas, Richard Dreyfuss, Larry King, Sean Penn, James Taylor, Uma Thurman, Ted Turner, Sandra Bullock, Morgan Freeman, Angelina Jolie, Bruce Willis, William Shatner, Donald Sutherland, Gene Wilder, and on and on and on. Whether you believe in a higher power, or prophecies, or absolutely nothing at all, our lives have true meaning in the way we live, in spite of our beliefs. But we can rise above our nature, as is simply quoted by cartoonist Michael Lunig. Love one another, and you will be happy. It's as simple and as difficult as that. Have an enlightened holiday. See you next time.